All right, Galatians, the first chapter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we sure want to thank you again today for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for who you are and how great you are, and according to your word, to you be the glory forever and ever and ever. And Father, we thank you this morning for this privilege of being in the house of God, being in a place, Lord, where we can hear about you, where we can pray together, Lord, and sing praises unto your name. So we thank you for it and ask you, Lord, during this time also for our children's churches, Lord, that you'd bless them real good and help as the word of God goes out. Now, Lord, this preacher needs your help. I need you to work through me. I need your power. I need your wisdom. And I ask you for it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning from the fourth verse of that which I read to you, and I will reread it. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. I think most of you understand that we're living in a time which we call the church age. It's a time when God is calling himself out of people, one by one, winning them unto himself. And of course, we refer to that as the church or the body of Christ. Now, this is a local church. This is a local, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. And it's a church, I believe, that God has ordained. God has put his hand on it. And God wants it to go forward and do the work of God right here in this community of doing the work which he just talked about here in delivering from this present evil world. That's what it's all about, is delivering folk, getting people saved, and bringing them to the place where they know Christ as their personal Savior, and delivering them from this old present evil world. Now, this world, as he says here, is evil. This is one of the things that I probably have more trouble in trying to explain to people than just about anything else. Most people look at this world and they look at it as a pretty good place. They look at it as a pretty nice place to be. Now, I'm not trying to talk it down that it isn't all right to live here in this world, but we're not to be of this world. And this is the part that is hard to get over to Christians today. There is a difference in living in this world and being a part of this world. There's a big difference. And God calls this world, this present evil world. That's what he calls it. This present evil world, see? So you can see that if you understand, if you just listen and understand according to the scripture, that this is an evil world. You can see that all around you. And in fact, the 2,000 years since Jesus, close to 2,000 years since Jesus was here and he died and was buried and rose again, in those 2,000 years, this world has not gotten any better. In fact, today's world, with all of the light that we have, this world is worse off proportionally than it has ever been. See, this is something we can't get a hold of because the gospel has been preached. It's in America, the gospel has been preached. It's everywhere. If someone wants to get the gospel, they can get the gospel. They can get it through the printed page. They can get it through tracts, and they can get it through someone handing them a testament. They can get it even sometimes over radio. I mean, the gospel is given over the airwaves, and sometimes even TV anymore can you can get some of the gospel. In some places, some programs, you can get the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know even in America, there's even people, street preachers that go around and preach on street corners. And the gospel is given out. We understand that. Now, it's not given out enough, but what I'm saying is if a person really wanted to receive the gospel, there's a place where they can find that. They can hear it in America. I'm thankful for the missionaries that's gone forward. There's missionaries now in America, for America. I mean, working in America instead of going overseas. I'm thankful for missionaries. I was talking to Jason here, Jason Scales, it was a week ago, maybe we was talking together. And Jason, God has called him to be a missionary. He's going to be a missionary. And right now, God is he thinks God is leading him to the country of Chile. Now, I don't know what God will do. I don't know what in the time here, whether God will direct him somewhere else. But that right now is what was on Jason's heart. That's where he believes that God is directing him over to the country of Chile. Well, I say to you, now just don't, just let God take care of it. We want God to send him wherever, but that's where he's putting an impression upon his heart right now. And what I'm saying is thank God for missionaries. Thank God. You know, I don't know if you understand that. We're blessed here at Blessed Hope. Yeah, we are. We got some folk out there going out there and doing some things for God, and they're giving their lives for the Lord. See, we got one missionary down there in Costa Rica learning the language. Him and Hannah's doing real well, learning the language and getting ready to go to the Dominican Republic. And there's others here that's already surrendered to mission work, and others in college that have already surrendered to God for those things. That's a blessing. Amen. Got a man over here surrendered to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's preparing, getting ready, learning, growing. And that's wonderful. I mean, that's wonderful, God. You understand that, folks, how God has blessed this place? You know, and so we thank God for that. You see, so missionaries, I see missionaries going out, and we're thankful for it. There's not enough of them going out. There's not enough churches being started. But the gospel of Jesus Christ has been in America for a lot of years. And yet it's still a present evil world. And America is getting worse and worse all the time. I kind of remember when we was in Cambridge, Maryland. And this thought in my mind has been there for, it's kind of helped stir me in different areas. But we was in Cambridge, and we drove one night down a street there. It was in a black community. And they had setting up a tent in the black community there, and they was having a tent revival. And it was a pretty good size tent. Pretty good sized community that where they were setting it up in. Cambridge had a pretty good colored community there. And I still remember this. Here this preacher was up preaching as we drove by and we looked over there. He was up there preaching, and there probably wasn't six people in that tent. Maybe a dozen. I don't know. I don't think there was a dozen. But probably six people in that tent. He was just up there preaching his heart out, you know. And I thought, oh, that's so sad. You know, just people are not, you know, they don't want to hear the gospel. The gospel's there, but they don't want to hear it. We've experienced that here. I mean, in all seriousness, this church ought to be full this morning. No, honestly, it should. It ought to be filled up. The pews ought to be packed this morning. There ought to be people coming in to hear the word of God. But this is an old present evil world. And it's that away. I want to take you over to 1 Corinthians, please. The second chapter of 1 Corinthians. The ninth verse. I want to show you that there are two opposing spirits in this world. They battle each other. In the ninth verse of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto him by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now ye have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that ye might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God talks about the spirit of the world and the Spirit of God. And they're opposing spirits. And they fight against it. You know, the whole spirit of this world is not for God. I mean, you've got to understand that, or you're going to get caught up in the idea that this old world's a pretty good place, but God calls it a present evil world. It's a wicked place. It's run by Satan. It's his system that he has set up, and so it's run by him. What I'm saying to you, you've got to understand what you're battling against. Look at 1 John. Go back with me to 1 John just a moment. The 4th chapter of 1 John. Listen to what he says in verse number 1. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And once again, God talks about the spirit of truth, which is of God, and the spirit of error. That's what we have in this world today. Get a hold of it, understand it. There is the spirit of truth, and there is the spirit of error. This old world is against God. This system, this world system, and its leader, Satan, is against God. Remember that. Now look, the second chapter of 1 John. We'll just read a couple verses, verse number 18. "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is in the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not of all of us." What I'm trying to get a point over is, you've got two sides to this thing. You've got the godly side and you've got the worldly side, and we're on one of those sides. I had forgot to bring my little chalkboard out here, so you're just going to have to imagine a little bit this morning. I'm going to draw a circle, okay? That circle represents the world. I'm going to draw a little circle in the center of that first circle, and that represents the Jews. God called out a country. God called out a people, called them the Israelite nation, Jews as we know of it today, little Israel sitting over in that same place where God placed them so many, many years ago, placed them in the world for a purpose, to be a testimony to the whole world that God is great and that God is the way. And he placed them in the middle, and instead of doing that, they became a part of the world. Instead of being separated from the world, they become a part of the world and became just like the world. But God's plan was that this Jewish nation, this Israelite nation, be a testimony to those around that the greatness of God, and God done something wonderful with this people, and that God was the way to go. They were to be that kind of testimony. They failed. And they instead became a part of that world. The next circle, the world. The next little circle, church. So God came along in the New Testament and placed the church here in this ungodly world to be a testimony to this ungodly world that God is great and God is good and that God is the way that we must turn and go through Jesus Christ. That's what he put the church here in this world for. Now what has happened is, the church, much of the church has went and done just exactly what Israel did, has become like the world. Instead of being a testimony and standing against the things of this world, they've become just like it. You go out in the world today and you can't tell much difference between the world and the Christian world. You can't tell much difference whatsoever. They ought to be a difference. We are to be a difference. We're to show forth that God is wonderful and that the way of the Lord is the right way. And we're not to become like the world. I'm going to draw another circle. World. Self. We say, oh yes, the church is supposed to be so great and wonderful. It's supposed to stand for the things of God collectively. That is right, and it's supposed to stand. But that little self was put in little communities all over this country. In your own little community where you live, it's put in that place where you work. It's put in that place where you go and travel in your community and see people. It's little self that God says, you go out there and you be a testimony for me, and you show those people around you that God is the way, that Christ is the way of salvation, and he's the only way. So what has happened? A little self has become like the world. You listen to me. Don't you ignore me. Don't you look down. Self has become just like the world. And that's all they care about, is the world. When God placed you and me in our situation, no matter where we are, to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. That's what he put us there for. We're not there to become like the world. Look like the world, act like the world, go to the same places the world go, and have the same priorities that the world has. No, 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 no. We are to be different. Amen. Amen. We are to be different. So God has placed us there for that very same purpose that he placed the Jews in this world, placed the church in this world, he placed every individual in this world for that very same purpose. Teaching in our Sunday school class, and I'm going to go over Sunday school class, okay, so you know, don't worry. But I want to tell you right now, God wants us to be a witness for him, not just on a Thursday night, not just on another night. He wants us to be a witness for him everywhere we go. That's the principle of witnessing. It's not just that we set up. It's all right to set up a certain time. Yes, amen. But that's not the purpose of witnessing. The purpose of witnessing is to be a witness. If you go to work, if you go to visit someone, if you pick up the telephone, if you get on the email, if you get somewhere else, whatever it is, you're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That is what God established in his word that we're to be. That's the self in the center of the world. That's what we're supposed to do, no matter where we go, what we do. We're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We carry him and the gospel with us no matter where we go. So God, that's God's purpose. The world, you've got to remember, is an evil place. The system that has been set up is Satan's system. It's not God's system. We're in the midst of it. We're in it, but we should not be of it. Amen? So, getting that point across, go with me over to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. Verse number 1 and verse number 2. And you have he quickened, that's in Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He says to we who used to be dead in sin. Now that's those who are dead in sin is being unsaved. He said that's what you were. But now you're saved. You're born again. And he says in time past, in other words, that's what you used to do according to the course of this world. That's the way you walked before you got saved. According to the course of this world. That's what you thought about. That was the priority of your life. That's what you did because that's the way you walked because you was in the world system. But he says, according to the prince and the power of the air. Whose system is this? This is Satan's system. Prince and power of the air. This is his system that's been set up in this old world, okay? And he says, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Now, go with me to Colossians, the first chapter. 12th verse. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, Colossians, first chapter, 12th verse, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. If you understand that, if you're a Christian, you've been translated. You've been translated from the power of darkness, and you've been translated into the kingdom of the dear Son of God. In other words, you're not where you used to be. You're in this world, but you're not of this world anymore. You've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God. Amen. There's a big difference. And if you get a hold of that, it'll help you throughout life. It'll help you to understand you and my responsibility. Once we get saved, what is our responsibility? We're not in the old darkness anymore. We're in the new kingdom with Christ. We've been translated. We are different. We have different priorities. Now, what has happened simply is this, and of course, if you'll go, and I'm not going to take the time to do that, but if you'll go to John, the 17th chapter, and you read that whole chapter, you'll find out how the Lord speaks about how that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And he spends a lot of time in that chapter trying to explain that. As a Christian, yes, you're living in this world. You have to do certain things in this world, but you're not of it. You're not of it. You've got to get a hold of that truth, or what will happen is you'll do like many multitudes of Christians are doing today. They're living in this world, and they're living like they are of this world. That's their whole priority. That's what they think about. You see, I was telling them in our Sunday school class that, you know, when we talk about kids anymore growing up, and we say to them, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm going to change my whole thing on this. I'm going to quit asking them, what are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be when you grow up? Well, first of all, be a witness for Jesus Christ. Then if God wants you to be a doctor, fine. God wants you to be a street cleaner, fine. God wants you to be a farmer, fine. But first of all, be a witness for Jesus Christ, because that's exactly what God wants you and I to be. First of all, above everything else. And nowadays, more the priority goes on, well, what am I going to train to be one of these days? It's all right to train to be something, but be a witness first. Yes. Realize and understand that's the principle that God has laid down in His Word, to be a principle, to be a witness for Jesus Christ above all, no matter what else you do in life, be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all of this began, this whole worldly system began back in Genesis, the 4th chapter, when the Bible talks about Cain going out from the presence of the Lord and building a city. If you go back there, that's when it all began. This world system began there out of the presence of the Lord. And he went out and he built a city. That's where it all began, and it's been growing ever since. This system that you see in this old world today is not God's system. And I'll prove that to you in just a few moments. But we know also it was the promise of knowledge that really started all sin in the beginning, where Eve accepted the fact that she could be like God or be like gods. And you'll be like gods if you do this or that. You'll know good and evil. You'll know the difference, you see. And it was a promise of knowledge. Now man constantly wants knowledge. He wants to build knowledge, not God knowledge, world knowledge. Now, you listen to me a few minutes, because most of the time, we spend our time building our worldly knowledge. Not for the purpose of helping God build His kingdom, but helping Satan build his. Most of the time, we're not out there interested in what God is saying to us and building our knowledge about the Lord and the things of the Lord. But we are building this old worldly knowledge so we can help build this old evil world. Now, I'm telling you, the principle is there. We need to get a hold of it. We need to listen to it. You see, Satan preaches the gospel of progress. But God doesn't preach the gospel of progress. You look at this old world system right now. You look at your TVs. You say, well, Brother Russ, God can use TV. Well, He does once in a while use TV, but what is TV 99% made up of? Ungodliness. And it's promoting an ungodly world, Satan's kingdom. You see, I know, Brother Ross, but boy, isn't this internet great? Isn't all these things, technology great? Well, it could be. But do you know that 99%, probably 98% or whatever it is, the internet and all those things are used to promote this world? It isn't used to promote God and His kingdom. Now, I didn't say it could not be. I say to you that it can be. It can be used for the right purpose. But most of the time, it is not. It's used in building a worldly knowledge to help build this old evil world. Amen. We'd be better off if we went back to the simplicity of life. I know we're not going to. But we'd be much better off if we went back to the simplicity of life. The quietness of life. This hustle-bustle of life is ridiculous and foolish. And old Satan is using it. Believe me, he is using it. But this world is not God's system. This is Satan's system. And you must understand, all of it is designed. You look around you. All of these things are designed to promote the world and the system of this world. To build this world instead of building God's system, you see. Christian, let me say that. Christian civilization is an impossibility. See, when we have a Christian civilization, you can't have a Christian civilization because Satan's civilization is here. It's being built here. And we look around and we say, oh boy, this ain't this great. And I think it's all built for Satan's system. And a little bit of God comes in and we get some people saved here and there. God's system is up there. That's where he's looking toward. That's what he wants to keep our eyes on. That's why he told you and I, you set your heart upon the things above. He doesn't want you to have your heart down here on these things. Yes, you have to live in these things. Yes, you have to do this. Yes, you have to do that. But don't be of it. Don't let that be the priority of your life. Keep your eyes up there. See, as you travel through life, remember those people you're going to be meeting in life. They need the Savior. So tell them about him. Yes, work with them. Do what you have to do as far as your work. But tell them about Christ. Amen? You see, Satan set aside, set about to build a system without God. That's exactly he used Cain to begin it. Out of the presence of the Lord, he began to build a city and a system without God Almighty. That's exactly what America is coming to today. America is in the place today where they want God out of everything. They don't want God in this. They don't want God in that. Folks, we have a responsibility to keep God in everything in our lives. We have a responsibility to do that. How dare them tell me I can't speak of Jesus Christ in certain places? How dare they tell me that? We have a responsibility to speak of Jesus Christ. Whether they like it or not, we have the responsibility. Now, I hear Christians say that, well, I can't talk about, you know, Christ in this, or I can't talk about God, you know, here, because I'm restricted. Wait a minute.
Amen. That's right.
That's the Savior. That's the Son of God who died on the cross. He's the Creator. He's the one that gives you breath to breathe. And how dare anyone say, I can't speak about him. You may not steal their time where you're working at. You may not steal their time to go about preaching the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. You may not, because you owe them a workload. You owe them a day's work. You owe them to be able to work. But there is times and places, because I've been in the field out there. There's times and places when you can talk about Christ. And you give a testimony of your wonderful love for the Lord Jesus Christ and how he loved you. You see, we can never forget that. This old world system hates God. And it's designed to work against everything that God stands for, you see. Now, I want to show you there's only two kinds of people, two kinds of children over in the book of John, please. 1 John. 1 John, 3rd chapter. First John, 3rd chapter, and verse number 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.